The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello and welcome to Reflections Day by Day, a program from the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. For the next half hour, I'll be reading from the appointed daily scriptures and a brief commentary from the publication Forward Day by Day, a daily devotional for disciples. This booklet is intended for any Christian or non-denominational reader and is affiliated with the Episcopal Church, USA. Our readings on this program cover the week of Monday, June 12th through Sunday, June 18th, 2023. The commentary for the month of June was written by Terry J. Stokes, associate pastor at the Reformed Church of Highland Park, New Jersey, and was confirmed at St. Philip's Episcopal Church in Harlem, New York. A graduate of Princeton Theological Seminary and Yale University, he is an avid spike ball player, songwriter, and pop culture enthusiast. He is the author of Prayers for the People, Things We Didn't Know We Could Say to God. The commentary for Monday, June 12th, begins as follows with a passage from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 10, verses 12 and 13. As you enter the house, greet it. If the house is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. Yesterday evening, I was sitting in my living room, thinking back to the guests who have visited my apartment over the past 2 years. Due to the constraints of pandemic and a semi-conscious belief that hospitality is something that couples and families do, rather than bachelors who live alone, the number isn't high. I thought about how I felt when each person was in the space, how the house felt, how each of them added a layer of significance to each square foot of a relatively small apartment. In these remarks, Jesus describes peace almost as a substance that can move from one host, one receptacle, to another, particularly from people to homes and back again. I admire this concept of hospitality and personal virtue. I want to cultivate this way of thinking within myself, to believe that I am bestowing spiritual fruit on the places that I visit, especially homes, and that I should put more effort into hosting, not least to have my guests' peace come upon my house. And now I'm going to read from the full passage of Matthew chapter 10, verses 7 through 16. As you go, proclaim the good news. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. You received without payment, give without payment. Take no gold or silver or copper in your belts, no bag for your journey, or two tunics or sandals or a staff. For laborers deserve their food. Whatever town or village you enter, find out who in it is worthy and stay there until you leave. As you enter the house, greet it. If the house is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, shake off the dust from your feet as you leave the house or town. Truly, I tell you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for that town. See, I am sending you out like sheep into the midst of wolves, so be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. And the moving forward challenge for this Monday, June 12th, is invite someone to your home to share the peace. Now let's turn to the commentary for Tuesday, June 13th. It begins with a passage from 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. I wish you would bear with me in a little foolishness. Do bear with me. There are several times in Paul's letters where he says, okay, this next part is going to be me speaking like a fool. I'm not a fool, but I'm going to act like one to make a point. Humor me. It's like Paul is a verified popular Twitter account who normally posts earnest, on-brand stuff about God's grace, faith, and church work. He typically ignores the trolls who write mean stuff in the accounts that regularly tweet bad theology, not letting them disrupt his content. But every now and then, he simply cannot let another awful take go by without, quote, tweeting it in dispute. Dunk on it, as the kids say. The most effective dunk tweets are often satirical. They use the absurdity of the original post thought against it. So Paul uses sarcasm to wield false apostles' own folly against them. And yet his rhetorical boasting always serves an ultimate display of humility. He reasserts his own legitimacy, not ultimately to defeat the trolls, but rather to defend the true gospel. And now I'm going to read from this full passage from today, Luke 19. Excuse me, I'm going to read from 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 1 through 21a. I wish you would bear with me in a little foolishness. Do bear with me. I feel a divine jealousy for you, for I promised you in marriage to one husband to present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I am afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by its cunning, your thoughts will be led astray from a sincere and pure devotion to Christ. For if someone comes and proclaims another Jesus than the one we proclaimed, or if you receive a different spirit from the one you received, or a different gospel from the one you accepted, you submit it to it readily enough. I think that I am not in the least inferior to these super apostles. I may be untrained in speech, but not in knowledge. Certainly in every way and in all things we have made this evident to you. Did I commit a sin by humbling myself so that you might be exalted, because I proclaimed God's good news to you free of charge? I robbed other churches by accepting support from them in order to serve you. And when I was with you and was in need, I did not burden anyone, for my needs were supplied by the friends who came from Macedonia. So I refrained and will continue to refrain from burdening you in any way. As the truth of Christ is in me, this boast of mine will not be silenced in the regions of Achaia. And why? Because I do not love you, God knows I do. And what I do, I will also continue to do in order to deny an opportunity to those who want an opportunity to be recognized as our equals in what they boast about. For such boasters are false apostles, deceitful workers, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. So it is not strange if his ministers also disguise themselves as ministers of righteousness. Their end will match their deeds. I repeat, let no one think that I am a fool, but if you do, then accept me as a fool, so that I too may boast a little. What I am saying in regard to this boastful confidence, I am saying not with the Lord's authority, but as a fool. Since many boast according to human standards, I will also boast. For you gladly put up with fools, being wise yourselves. For you put up with it when someone makes slaves of you, or preys upon you, or takes advantage of you, or puts on airs, or gives you a slap in the face. To my shame, I must say, we were too weak for that. And the moving forward question for this Tuesday, June 13th, is, when have you stood up to foolishness? And now the commentary for Wednesday, June 14th. It begins with a passage from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 19, verse 21. "For I was afraid of you because you are a harsh man. You take what you did not deposit and reap what you did not sow." This parable of the 10 pounds is tough. What's the lesson, the takeaway? Option 1, conquest and capitalism are bad. This seems to fit with Jesus' overall message, but how do the different stewardships come in? And am I supposed to take away the opposite of the story's forceful conclusion? Option 2, God has given each of us resources to invest and make the most of, but that implies the nobleman represents God, and the nobleman is terrible. On June 12th, we looked at the story in Matthew where Jesus, rather than leaving his followers behind with money while he travels far seeking power, sends his followers out to the villages, expressly with nothing, and gives them his own divine power to heal and bless. Perhaps the central takeaway from these parables is that the old economy is passing away and Jesus is ushering in a new kind of kingdom. Now I'm going to read from this full passage of Luke chapter 19, verses 11 through 27, the parable of the 10 pounds. As they were listening to this, he went on to tell a parable because he was near Jerusalem and because they supposed that the kingdom of God was to appear immediately. So he said, "A nobleman went to a distant country to get royal power for himself and then return. He summoned 10 of his slaves and gave them 10 pounds and said to them, 'Do business with these until I come back.' But the citizens of his country hated him and sent a delegation after him, saying, 'We do not want this man to rule over us.' When he returned, having received royal power, he ordered these slaves to whom he had given the money to be summoned so that he might find out what they had gained by trading. The first came forward and said, 'Lord, your pound has made 10 more pounds. He said to him, 'Well done, good slave, because you have been trustworthy in a very small thing. Take charge of 10 cities. Then the second came, saying, 'Lord, your pound has made 5 pounds. He said to him, "And you rule over 5 cities. Then the other came, saying, "Lord, here is your pound. I wrapped it up in a piece of cloth, for I was afraid of you, because you are a harsh man. You take what you did not deposit and reap what you did not sow." He said to him, "I will judge you by your own words, you wicked slave. You knew, did you, that I was a harsh man, taking what I did not deposit and reaping what I did not sow? Why then did you not put my money into the bank? Then when I returned, I could have collected it with interest." He said to the bystanders, "Take the pound from him and give it to the one who has 10 pounds. And they said to him, "Lord, he has 10 pounds. I tell you, to all those who have, more will be given. But from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. But as for these enemies of mine who did not want me to be king over them, bring them here and slaughter them in my presence." And the moving forward suggestion for this day is to reread the passage from Luke. What are its key takeaways for you? Now the commentary for Thursday, June 15th, it begins with a passage from Luke chapter 19, verse 38a. "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord." The triumphal entry of Jesus in Luke is a foretaste of a future final entry into the new Jerusalem that we hear of in the Revelation of John. On that great day, we will be clothed in the new robes of resurrection so that we can lay them on Jesus' horse as he rides in to take his throne. We will be given leaves from a tree that John saw in Revelation and wave its fronds in jubilation. In John's vision, creation is renewed so that the stones join us in shouting out glory to God. John saw the stones that made up the streets, gates, and foundations of the New Jerusalem, the jasper and the sapphire, and all 12 precious stones that make the same cry as the 12 apostles and the 12 tribal heads. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God the Almighty, who was and is to come. Jesus enters the city where God's dwelling place is now with God's people, and where there will be no more mourning or crying or pain. For the old order of things has passed away, and the procession of palm branches leads into the new temple, Jesus, God's self. And now I'm going to read from the full passage for this day. It is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 19, verses 28 through 40, Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. After he had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. When he had come near Bethphage and Bethany at the place called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of the disciples, saying, "Go into the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' just say this, 'The Lord needs it.' So those who were sent departed and found it as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' They said, 'The Lord needs it.' Then they brought it to Jesus, and after throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. As he rode along, people kept spreading their cloaks on the road. As he was now approaching the path down from the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the deeds of power that they had seen, saying, 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven.' Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, 'Teacher, order your disciples to stop.' He answered, 'I tell you, if these were silent, the stones would shout out.'" And the moving forward passage for this Thursday, June 15th, is, "How do you celebrate the risen Lord?" The commentary for Friday, June 16th, begins with a passage from Ecclesiasticus, chapter 45, verse 16. "He chose him out of all the living to offer sacrifice to the Lord, incense and a pleasing odor as a memorial portion to make atonement for the people." I recently visited a colleague at his Coptic Orthodox church. Icons everywhere, so much beauty, so much veneration, so much symbolism all around me. The saint's room and the baptistry were stunning, but my favorite part was the altar. In the Coptic tradition, the altar represents heaven, and it is separated from the chancel by a veil. The room was dome-shaped, with art covering every inch of the walls, depicting various symbols in Revelation. I think my soul left my body for a second. It was perhaps the closest I've come to comprehending the beauty of the temple and the priestly duties attending it, described in the reading from Ecclesiasticus. What amazes me is that this glory now belongs to all believers. The priesthood of the people, the stately robes, the authority, the holy bells and smells, the crown, the seal, the anointing. Thanks be to God for this honor." And now I'm going to read from this passage from Ecclesiasticus, chapter 45, verses 6 through 16. "He exalted Aaron, a holy man like Moses, who was his brother of the tribe of Levi. He made an everlasting covenant with him and gave him the priesthood of the people. He blessed him with stateliness and put a glorious robe on him. He clothed him in perfect splendor and strengthened him with the symbols of authority, the linen undergarments, the long robe, and the ephod. And he encircled him with pomegranates, with many golden bells all around. to send forth a sound as he walked, to make their ringing heard in the temple as a reminder to his people. With the sacred vestment of gold and violet and purple, the work of an embroiderer, with the oracle of judgment, Urim and Thummim, with twisted crimson, the work of an artisan, with precious stones engraved like seals, and a setting of gold, the work of a jeweler, to commemorate in engraved letters each of the tribes of Israel, with a gold crown upon his turban, inscribed like a seal with holiness, a distinction to be prized, the work of an expert, a delight to the eyes, richly adorned. Before him such beautiful things did not exist. No outsider ever put them on, but only his sons and his descendants in perpetuity. His sacrifices shall be wholly burned twice every day continually. Moses ordained him and anointed him with holy oil. It was an everlasting covenant for him and for his descendants as long as the heavens endure, to minister to the Lord and serve as priest and bless his people in his name. He chose him out of all the living to offer sacrifice to the Lord, incense and a pleasing odor as a memorial portion to make atonement for the people. And the moving forward question for this day is, what parts of your church building remind you of the glory of God? The commentary for Saturday, June 17th, begins with a passage from Psalm 76, verse 8. From heaven you pronounced judgment. The earth was afraid and was still. When I was a kid, sometimes I would get in trouble and be punished immediately. Other times my mom or dad would say, "I'll deal with you later," or even worse, "We'll discuss this when your father, when he gets home." You could hear a pin drop in my room during those elongated, eerie hours. Not a peep from me. If I wasn't sitting in a corner trying to fade into the carpet, I was reading or listening to the David Crowder Band on my portable CD player at the lowest volume possible. Well, that time of stillness was often just as instructive as the eventual judgment that was levied. It gave me time to reflect, find my way to remorse, and decide to confess and offer to make reparation. I've always wondered about the idea of final judgment. Will there be a line of billions waiting to enter the courtroom, present their case, and receive their evaluation? Will there be a jury made up of prophets and martyrs? Will Jesus be both judge and defense lawyer? Whatever it is, I hope we respond first with stillness. And I'm going to read the full Psalm 76. In Judah, God is known. His name is great in Israel. His abode has been established in Salem, his dwelling place in Zion. There he broke the flashing arrows, the shield, the sword, and the weapons of war. Glorious are you, more majestic than the everlasting mountains. The stout-hearted were stripped of their spoil. They sank into sleep. None of the troops was able to lift a hand. At your rebuke, O God of Jacob, both rider and horse lay stunned. But you indeed are awesome. Who can stand before you when once your anger is roused? From the heavens you uttered judgment. The earth feared and was still when God rose up to establish judgment to save all the oppressed of the earth. Human wrath serves only to praise you when you bind the last bit of your wrath around you. Make vows to the Lord your God and perform them. Let all who are around him bring gifts to the one who is awesome, who cuts off the spirit of princes, who inspires fear in the kings of the earth. And the moving forward statement for this day is, set aside 10 minutes for quiet time to reflect and pray. And now the commentary for Sunday, June 18th, the third Sunday of Pentecost. It begins with a passage from Genesis 18, verse 1. The Lord appeared to Abraham by the oaks of Mamre as he sat at the entrance of his tent in the heat of the day. I've always wanted a proper front porch. I walk around my neighborhood and see houses with porches that run the full length of the front, and I think how nice it must be to take in the day from there, to sit and read, to play guitar, or to talk to neighbors as they pass by. Abraham was sitting on his front porch, or at the entrance of his tent, rather, when he suddenly saw the three divine messengers before him. It's remarkable enough that he, at age 99, sprinted to meet them, bowed his ancient frame down before them, and showed them fine hospitality. But the catalyst for all that happens next is him sitting where he is. Referencing this story, Hebrews 13:2 says, "Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing that, some have entertained angels without knowing it." Perhaps this is the corollary of spend time on your porch, steps, yard, block, so that you might meet angels. And now I'm going to read from Genesis 18, verses 1 through 15. The Lord appeared to Abraham by the oaks of Mamre as he sat at the entrance of his tent in the heat of the day. He looked up and saw three men standing near him. When he saw them, he ran from the tent entrance to meet them and bowed down to the ground. He said, "My Lord, if I find favor with you, do not pass by your servant. Let a little water be brought and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. Let me bring a little bread that you may refresh yourselves, and after that you may pass on, since you have come to your servant." So they said, "Do as you have said." And Abraham hastened into the tent to Sarah and said, "Make ready quickly 3 measures of choice flour, knead it, and it makes cakes." Abraham ran to the herd and took a calf, tender and good, and gave it to the servant, who hastened to prepare it. Then he took curds and milk and the calf that he had prepared and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree while they ate. And the moving forward passage for this day is introduce yourself to a new neighbor. Perhaps invite them to sit for a spell on your porch, steps, or lawn. And that's all the time we have for today's episode of Reflections Day by Day. Let's close with a special prayer from Father Richard Rohr, founder of the Center for Action and Contemplation in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Creator God, O great love, thank you for living in us and through us. May all that we do flow directly from our deep connection with you and other beings. Help us become a community that shares each other's burdens and the weight of glory. Listen to our heart's longings for the healing of our world. Knowing that you are hearing us much better than we are speaking, we offer this prayer in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and in all the holy names of God. I'm George Douglas. Thank you for joining me today for Reflections Day by Day. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Reflections Day by Day is a presentation of the North Carolina Reading Service and is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Please join me for a new program of readings and commentary next week from Forward Day by Day, a publication of forwardmovement.org. Goodbye until next time.